Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing today?
I, for one, am not dying from the plague, which is more than I can say about Robbie.
I'm not dying. I am just slightly ill, so I apologize for my voice. Try and hold it together for this week. Before we get started with this week's episode, I do want to mention that if you like us, please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, you know, anywhere you find us, we really appreciate it, and it really helps us out, helps us get new listeners. Also, we are on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter is at Simpsons Show Pod, and Facebook is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. You can also email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. If you have any Simpsons-related anecdotes, we want to hear them. We've gotten several good emails from people so far, and I'd like to hear more. Try and post a lot of cool stuff on social media, so if you guys, please follow us there. This week's episode is Simpson and Delilah, episode 7F02. Originally aired October 18th, 1990. It was written by John Vitti, directed by Rich Moore. The chalkboard gag was, "Tar is not a plaything." And I don't know if that's referring to something specific. Do you know, Matt? You have any insight into that?
No, I just think tar is one of those things you probably shouldn't be playing with. Just a thought.
I mean, at surface level, it works fine well enough. I'm just curious if there's some tar thing that I don't know about that happened in the 90s. But yeah, I guess in LA there's the tar pits, but where in them, like, I've never encountered tar except maybe on beaches occasionally.
Well, they use it to make roads, so generally, or on roofs a lot of the times, commercial roofs, you put down tar.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Maybe Bart was getting into that. The couch gag was the family did like a little Egyptian-style dance. Like a little flourish.
Pretty original compared to the first season.
Yeah, exactly. After watching all those first season couch gags, this is actually pretty interesting. The episode starts off with the family watching television, watching like a Jeopardy-style program. And I think I caught, what was the first question was, North Dakota capital was named after a German leader.
Hitler, obviously. And I mean, what else Hitler, could it be?
Yeah, Homer yells out Hitler. Hitler, North Dakota. And even Bart's like, Hitler?
Hey, at least after that he was still beating Bart. You know, it's important to beat your 10-year-old.
Yes, he's beat a 10-year-old. Yeah, exactly. That sounds like my dad when I was 10. Yeah, I'm still winning. We basically jump right into what impetus for the whole episode is. We see a commercial for a hair medicine. Minoxidil, I think it's called, right?
Totally.
Or no, that's the actual... No, Minoxidil is the actual name of it. The Dimoxidil is the name in The Simpsons, which, for you guys who don't know, it's basically what Rogaine is, very diluted. Rogaine is basically that medicine, very diluted. That's what Homer is basically using Rogaine. But, you know, he's very excited about this because we kind of see a lot in this episode. We see kind of Homer's... a little bit of his vainness because he is like... overjoyed at just mere chance of growing his hair back.
Well, after how everyone treated him with hair, I mean, maybe he's got something there.
It's hard to argue, yeah. But he goes to this hair doctor. I don't know what actually, is he a dermatologist? Or they don't really say what kind of, is he, I don't think they have hair doctors, but whatever. He's a hair doctor. I've decided. He's like a little squirrely guy, but he says it costs $1,000. And Homer does not have $1,000. And Lenny and Carl, after they have a brief exchange about fish sticks and tartar sauce in the nuclear plant cafeteria, suggest that, you know, he just kind of mess around with insurance forms and he can write it off, the work, under work insurance.
Because no one's going to be upset about that at all.
Yeah, insurance fraud, no big deal. But he goes back to the doctor with this a form, and the doctor, they go to this back alley kind of shady agreement where the doctor gives him like this unmarked package, and he gives the doctor this a form.
Whoa, you're missing the best part here. They use the classic Simpsons don't want to be overheard music, the Mexican hat dance.
Mexican hat dance, yes, because that's if someone is bugging them, that's you just hear the Mexican hat dance. You don't think anything's amiss at all.
That's how you know something fishy's going on in the Simpsons. You hear that music.
Yeah, We'll have to keep an eye on that, seeing the next instance of the Mexican hat dance, see what happens. Homer gets the medicine, you know, does what it says, and then says a quick little prayer, a hair prayer.
May God give a bald guy a break. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So he puts this hairnet on and goes to sleep. Wakes up, you know, does his morning routine, pulls off the hairnet, big giant head of hair, which I don't think it necessarily works like that in real life.
Well, maybe not the kind you can get over the counter, but I'm sure the prescription stuff has got to be totally better.
Yeah, it's one night is a full head of hair, totally bald to a full head of hair. But Homer is obviously overjoyed. We get a nice little lovely montage of him running around in the street, dancing, screaming in joy. It's kind of an ode to similar to It's a Wonderful Life. And, you know, he encounters another gentleman who's also regrown hair, and they embrace and hug and high five at right in front of the Jebediah Springfield.
I don't know. Statue. I think the other guy got a better deal because he got these this long curly black hair. So, you know, I think he got.
I like Homer's hair. I think Homer's hair is similar to mine. So I think. But Homer goes gets a haircut from the barber who hasn't seen him in probably a decade.
Oh, 20 years. So it's been even longer than that.
20 years it was.
Which means if Homer's, what, 39?
So he's 19.
Last time, that's when he started losing his hair. He was bald by the time he got out of high school. Ouch.
Well, it depends on what Simpsons continuity you want to adhere to. But I believe whenever he's learned that he's having children is when he's pulled out his hair.
That's true. That would make sense.
But I don't know if we really want to go by that. You know, he's, you know, obviously he's and getting the hair, it makes Homer like 10 times happier and kind of smarter and nicer to everyone. And it's noticeable right away. He's, you know, Marge is quite happy with him because she admits to Patty and Selma that he's more frisky than he's ever been. And even he's nice to Patty and Selma, and they're actually kind of taken by him. Which is actually kind of funny. That they hate him so much.
That's pretty impressive, considering how much he hates Patty and Selma, that he gets home and he's so happy from having hair that he calls them beautiful ladies. I mean, that's just... No, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, he generally is not nice to them at all. And now, you know, just the hair is... It buoys him.
I think...
It makes him much, much happier.
I think it's much more likely someone sewed a wig to his head and then just gave him a whole ton of Prozac.
And Homer goes to work and... Burns and Smithers are surveying their, you know, their field of monitors, looking at all of their employees because they have the union requirement of one token promotion from within. And they're trying to find somebody. And they see Homer. And he's got a nice, you know, nice do, which is a really lovely touch that pretty much every scene with him with hair, he has a different haircut. Or a different style.
He spent the money he saved on the barber, because the barber is obviously getting lots of business from him.
Yeah, every day it seems he's doing something different. But, you know, Mr. Burns, I believe, remarks that he looks dynamic and resourceful. It's all on that hair. So he gets basically given notice that he's being promoted and to say goodbye to all his low-level cronies. You know, his buddies in the trenches. He's in his new office in a green suit, which is awful. This ugly green suit.
Lime green bargain basement polyester, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. And he's hiring a secretary because of he's basically a junior executive at this point. And he has to get himself a secretary. And, you know, all he's getting are basically flirtatious young women who want the job and are trying to, you know, flirt with him to get it. And he calls to Marge, and she obviously is not happy with that. And at that moment, a gentleman walks in, who we learn his name is Carl, who's voiced by Harvey Fierstein. Fierstein? I'm never sure how to say his name.
I've always heard of Fierstein.
Fierstein? Okay. It sounds better anyway. Voiced by Harvey Fierstein. He's kind of a character actor. He's, mostly known for, I think, theater, Broadway stuff.
And Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire, also Independence Day. He's in Independence Day, a small bit part in Independence Day. That's the thing that pops in my head, at least in movies. He plays Carl and does a really excellent job, actually. Really gives Carl a really excellent voice. And Carl walks in here. Carl walks in and, you know, is very, you know, confident, authoritative. And Marge immediately says, you know, she hears a male voice. She's like, yeah, hire him. And he basically gives this really really wonderful speech to Homer that basically saying that you don't, that he doesn't belong where he is. And it cuts right through that facade that Homer is trying to keep up with his hair, and it gets Carl the job. And we actually have that clip. And note, all our clips are a little long this week, folks, but I think they're worth it just because I think Harvey Fierstein's job, he does a really good job with his guest work, the guest character. So we have that clip right now.
You don't belong here.
Huh?
You don't belong here. You're a fraud and a phony, and it's only a matter of time until they find you out.
Who told you?
You did. You told me with the way you slump your shoulders, the way you talk into your chest, the way you smother yourself in bargain basement lime green polyester. I want you to say to yourself, I deserve this. I love it. I am nature's greatest miracle. Go ahead, say it.
I
trust me, Homer. Take a step and say it.
I deserve this.
Louder.
I deserve this.
Shout it.
I am nature's greatest miracle.
I'll need 3 weeks vacation and moving expenses.
You got it, buddy.
Let's go shopping.
Homer hires him on the spot. Carl is basically remakes Homer, makes him into a confident executive. You know, he gets him new clothes. He starts basically just taking care of him.
Basically reminding him that he's worth something now. Or actually always has been. Because apparently all Homer has ever lacked is confidence. Which, if you go into the later seasons, that's probably not true. But in this episode, it's pretty obvious that Homer, with a little bit of confidence, is a very dangerous thing.
Yeah, exactly. He's very kind of timid. And we see this a little rivalry between him and Smithers starting right about this point in this episode. You know, we see Homer, you get new clothes from with Carl's help. Homer forgets their anniversary. Crazy, I know, for Homer to do that. But Marge isn't angry, but then suddenly a singing telegram arrives with flowers, and we find out that Carl had actually set all this up. So he's taking care of Homer more than just at work, too. He's also taking care of him in his personal life.
Basically, Carl is the best executive assistant you could ever hope to have.
Apparently, he's independently wealthy, has a really nice place to live, dresses real sharp. He's probably, the best person, the best assistant you could probably ever ask for. Homer is, at a board meeting, and Burns is asking for advice to help his, to get efficiency up. And he points at Homer specifically. He wants Homer to give him some advice. And Homer's basically been told by Smithers to shut up. Don't say a word. Just sit there and be quiet. And Homer starts talking about tartar sauce because throwback to earlier in the episode where, you know, he didn't have enough for his dry fish sticks. Burns, who calls it tartar sauce, buys in just because I don't know why he buys it. I think he's taken by kind of Homer's hair. They really sell that Homer's hair and this newfound confidence that he's been given by the hair and by Carl. But he says he suggests this and Burns is taken by him for some reason. And then we cut to this Homer scooping ladles full of tartar sauce at the cafeteria.
Well, if you have dry fish sticks, you need lots of tartar sauce.
I don't know if you need that much tartar sauce. That's a lot of tartar sauce. But regardless, I didn't know the plant had a newsletter. I guess they do have callbacks.
Are you telling me your workplace doesn't have a newsletter?
I don't work at a nuclear power plant, so, but no.
I get a newsletter in my email inbox every single freaking day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. No, we don't. Luckily, we just have a website that no one looks at. and it basically just it paints Homer as he has new ideas, and it's all this tartar sauce movement is very successful. Smithers quick to point out that accidents are down mainly by the same amount that Homer himself probably caused when he was at the safety inspector position. Burns dismisses him, and we see Homer get the key to the executive washroom, which is it's trumpeted. It's, you know, we have basically Hark the Herald Angels, it fountains, and everyone gathers around to see him go in. He gets to dry off Mr. Burns' hands, which even makes Smithers even more jealous. You see, it's a really lovely shot, actually, as we see Smithers kind of stick around behind in the washroom as Homer walks off with Burns, and he throws down this washcloth angrily, and he actually goes late at night, sneaks in, and grabs Homer's personnel file and finds the fraudulent insurance form, which I think the funniest bit about that is what Homer wrote in the explanation field.
What, Robbie, do you have a problem with him trying to keep his brain from freezing? It's cold when you're bald.
I know, you gotta keep your brain from freezing. I just love it. That's perfect. Spinner goes to Mr. Burns, reveals this. Burns says, fire whoever it was. He goes to Homer, says, you're fired. But Carl basically jumps on the grenade for him, which he makes an allusion to. He says, he was the one who did it. Homer had nothing to do with it. He did it without his knowledge. He writes a check for $1,000 on the spot and leaves.
So apparently he was getting paid really well.
Either he's like independently wealthy and he's just taking this position to have it. Like, it seems like he's like a guardian angel. And I think I want to talk about Carl a little bit after this next scene. It's interesting that he just is kind of there to help out Homer. He doesn't necessarily need that job, but Homer is obviously really upset because his medicine, the insurance fraud plan is totally kaput. So he's not getting any more medicine. We cut back to the house. Bart is having like this vision that he'll have this really wonderful beard, like a beatnik. I don't know why Bart would want to be a beatnik, but.
Well, you know, kids, they always want to be stupid things. I mean, they want to be astronauts. They want to be firefighters. They want to be hippies. You know, kids are weird.
Yeah. When I was 10 years old, I just wanted to be a beatnik. I don't know. Bart is putting it on his face and in the meantime spills the medicine on the ground, leaving Homer without any of the hair medicine. And within a day, his hair falls out. Isn't the next day his hair is gone? Is that right? I think that's the timeline, basically, right?
It's a day? Yes, it's within a day. Apparently, he has to put it on, like, every single night. And you saw at the beginning of the episode, he hangs upside down and uses this special massage wand on his head. Apparently, that has to be a daily thing, which has to really suck.
To go from bald to having a full head of hair, I guess it's worth it.
That's true.
But he's bald and miserable again. He goes in to work with a hat, and he finds that, and Burns basically tells him that he wants him to give a speech to all the executives, all the bigwigs, all the managers, higher level management, I guess. And basically, Homer is without his hair. He's lost all his confidence, and it Samson and Delilah. The title is a reference to the biblical story of Samson and Delilah, with Samson who owed his strength to his hair, and he lost it, and he lost his strength. And Homer loses his hair, and he loses his confidence. He comes to work with a hat on. He's slumped. He's sad. Smithers is delighting in in his misery, which Smithers is really nasty in this episode.
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to Smithers sees Carl as his greatest enemy. I mean, maybe not directly, but when you think about it, there are two sides of the same coin. One, you have the great executive assistant who's personally very confident, and then you have Smithers, who is a pretty good assistant, as we see later in the series, but is so incredibly insecure that he just can't handle it.
And he sees Burns paying attention to somebody else, and I know that, and we see that it bothers him. Basically, Homer finds a speech written for him by Carl, and Carl's written it, laid out every detail for this speech. And it's a really funny moment because Homer is reading this speech, like Homer's looking at the speech on this all on 3x5 cards, and we hear Carl's voiceover, Carl reading the speech. And after he's done it, he's flipping through it, and we like this letter, and Carl's actually behind him, just reciting it. It's a nice little homage to a lot of times when, for some reason, like in sitcoms, people are writing letters to each other, the person who wrote it is reading it, and it doesn't really make sense. But in this case, Carl's actually in the room, just reciting it.
Which, I love Homer's line there. He says, so that wasn't just your sweet voice I heard in my head. Which leads you to think all kinds of fun things about Homer right there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Homer is, he appreciates, obviously, that Carl's gone to this length to help him. But he does not have his confidence. And Carl tells him, like, he gives a really wonderful, it's kind of a bookend to the speech he gave at the very beginning, when he got hired. And we pulled this as well, and it's really good. So, here we go.
Huh?
Dear Mr. Simpson, I've taken the liberty of preparing your speech on the enclosed numbered 3x5 cards. All the big words are spelled phonetically. God bless you. You are one of Springfield's very special creatures. Your obedient servant, Carl. Good luck, sir.
Carl, so that wasn't just a sweet voice I heard inside my head. What are you doing here?
I just came to say goodbye to the gals in the typing pool.
Yeah, well, thanks for the speech, Carl, but I can't give it. Look at me!
I guess I haven't taught you anything.
What do you mean?
Don't you see? The tartar sauce, the bathroom key, drying your boss's hands. You did it all. It was never the hair. You did it because you believed you could and you still can.
No, I can't. I'm just a big fool.
Oh, no, you're not.
How do you know?
Because my mother taught me never to kiss a fool.
Carl.
Now go get him tight.
He gives him this really great speech about how, you know, it's always been him. It's nothing. The hair is nothing to do with his hair. He just has the hair, and it gave him the confidence that he always needed. And he gives him a big kiss. And this is not really ever mentioned about being a big deal, but a male-on-male kiss on network television in 1990 in American network television, I would think is a big deal.
Yeah, no one seemed to have mentioned it at the time or later on. There was never any controversy about it. But it feels like the kind of thing that somebody somewhere would have said, hey, that's a little weird.
Because the first on-screen kiss, male-male kiss in American network television is Dawson's Creek, and it's a decade later. There's male-on-male kiss in BBC before this, but never on American network television. And I would think that, like, I looked it up, and I could not find. There's gay characters and there's gay couples. But no, there's never any on-screen kiss, and I would think that this such a like kind of trailblazing moment would be a bigger deal. Like I never saw this in any kind of timeline for progressive moments in television. But I think it really is very progressive to have. And Homer's like his homophobia is it kind of goes back and forth depending on the episode.
Yeah, it's definitely not he's no John in this episode, but
yeah, exactly. Like the one with John Waters, that's the kind of the main plot point of the episode about him worried being Bart being turning out gay. But in a lot of other episodes, we see Homer even like he likes stupid sexy Flanders. Like he just has this, it's kind of almost casual, male gay sexuality kind of things that like it's just not even like a big deal. And in this particular, like Carl gives him a kiss and he doesn't have any kind of I believe it's called the gay fright. There's none of it in here. I think that it's really interesting that we see something so progressive in The Simpsons, especially so early on. I guess we can talk about Carl now. They never explicitly say that Carl's gay.
No, but there are they drop a lot of hints. He's well spoken. He has a great wardrobe. He's friends with the gals in the typing pool.
Yeah, exactly. He kisses Homer and pats him on the butt. And Harvey Fierstein, he is openly gay. I think he's always been openly gay. Matt Groening, when asked, they said, oh, is he gay? He's like, he's whatever you want him to be. And I'm not sure if it's just they wanted to make it more ambiguous just because it was 1990 and they didn't want to, worry about it getting censored.
Whether he's gay or not has no real bearing on what the character does. And he was there for one episode. If he was a long-running character, he kept coming back, they might have had to address it. But since he was there for this one episode, it doesn't seem like it matters, really. It's just people's curiosity. Yeah,
and I saw, like, reading online in the news groups of that week, like, it seemed like people were half and half. Like, people were really, like, some people were really, like, happy that, like, there was a gay character on television and he had this, like, a male-male kiss and there wasn't a big deal about it. But other people are, like, makes him just, like, and this was really interesting to me. Like, there's a trope in fiction called the magical Negro. I don't know. Are you aware of that, Matt,
yes,
at all?
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Where, like, you'll have a black character, quote unquote, who's, you'll have one who's, well-rounded and interesting, but he's just there to help the white person with their problem. And then he disappears. And this is like the same kind of deal where it's just like he's like a guardian angel, apparently gay male, gay character who just is there to help facilitate Homer and, you know, help him out. Kind of a double-edged sword there where, you know, you get a gay character and you get this kind of exposure in a very progressive way, especially at the time. But you also, he's not like a real, you know, he's just there to help out Homer.
Yeah, you never really go into who Carl is or what he does outside of work besides lounge around in a bathrobe. So he essentially could be replaced with a voice Homer hears in his head for the most part.
Yeah, so it's kind of I don't know, it's interesting that at least I would say that I guess with everything like this that I think it's good that they had a gay character in the Simpsons, and I guess it certainly was progressive, especially the kiss. I'm very surprised. I've not run into anything about it in doing my research for this week, but it kind of just, it reminds you that we've come a long way. We haven't come far enough, honestly, but you know, that there are more gay characters than there are actually real characters, not just kind of these guardian angel figures that show up and then disappear. He gives Homer the confidence to give this speech, walks off out in the rain, gives him his umbrella, and Homer goes in front of the crowd, bald again. And he's giving this really great speech. If you actually listen to what he's saying, it's actually really intelligent, and it's supposedly going to save the company lots and lots of money. But, like, everyone just immediately dismisses him because he's bald.
Of course. Yeah, everyone knows bald men just can't have good ideas.
Well, studies have shown, like, that it's honestly true that people that are bald are not, people don't pay attention to them as much. They do not respect them as much. And it's kind of a sad but true fact. And it reminded me of last week's episode, honestly. Homer, he goes out there with confidence and tries, just like Bart tried to, you know, pass his test. And it fails because he's bald. And it's kind of like his fear, like, no one will respect me anymore because I'm bald. And no one respects him because he's bald. And it's really sad, especially considering that the speech he's giving is actually really helpful, and if they actually listened to it, it probably would help the company.
That's true. It's kind of, like I said, it's incredibly sad that Homer was right the entire time. No matter how confident he was, it was still the hair that made people listen to him, which is just depressing.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad moment. If the episode ended this way, it really would have been a huge downer. I think it was James Brooks, who apparently this is what, like, he was best at, was just throwing things in at the last moment, they end up completely changing the tone of the episode. He goes to see Burns, and instead of Burns firing him, Burns basically just demotes him back to his old position, because we find out that Burns also went bald at a very young age.
Apparently he was a strawberry blonde as well.
He's 81 years old, we find out, which apparently his age, again, is depending on what continuity of this, yeah, whatever you want to decide. This week, he's 81. Homer guesses he's 102, which I believe they actually use as his age at a later date. He pities him because he also went bald early. But Homer goes home, and it ends with so many episodes end with this, the Homer and Marge in bed thing. And we really see Homer at his most vulnerable at this point. Because his worst fear kind of came to fruition. And now they kind of lived high on the hog for a lot of this episode because he was getting paid more. You know, the kids had better toys. He had offered, you know, get Lisa a pony. And Marge really, you know, liked the vivacity he had gained with his hair. And now he's worried, like, all that's going to go away and Marge isn't going to like him anymore or think, you know, we see Homer, like, we really like him because he has this kind of almost childlike quality. Like, he's kind of innocent and naive and oblivious to a lot of things. And that's even despite a lot of, sometimes his actions are kind of awful, we still kind of root for him. But at this point, we see this kind of self-awareness of himself that we never really see that often. It reminded me of the end of Forrest Gump, actually. When, you know, because Forrest Gump goes through the whole movie where, you know, we don't know if he's aware of his intelligence compared to other people. And then at the end, we kind of see that he is aware of that. And Homer is aware of how being bald is. And he's just heartbroken. And then Marge embraces him, and it's really really touching moment. And Sings the same song that the singing telegram guy sang to her early in the episode. And we actually have, we pulled this. It's really heart touching, and we're going to play it for you.
You can take your child, yeah.
Homer, are you still awake?
I've never been more awake in my life.
What's wrong?
Are you kidding? I'm stuck in that dead-end job again. The kids are going to hate me because I can't buy them all the stuff I promised them. And you're not going to love me as much because I'm ugly and bald.
Oh, Homer, your job has always put food on our table, and the kids will get over it.
And what about loving me?
Oh, Homer, come here.
What?
Come here.
Oh.
You are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see?
Oh.
You're everything that I hope for.
I'm everything you need.
You are so beautiful to me.
And the episode ends on that really touching moment. I think it pulls it back from that kind of the sad moment when Homer fails, you know, to deliver that speech well because he's bald again. And I think that moment actually, honestly, makes the episode a lot better for me. To me,
well, it's true. It has this kind of give and take. You start the episode, you know, it starts out kind of funny, and then it gets sad when you realize how miserable Homer is being bald, and then he gets the hair and feels better, and then Smithers still treats him like crap, and then he finds Carl, who makes him feel better. And then it just goes back and forth. And if you ended on that speech, you'd end on such a low note that it would be an incredibly depressing episode. But like you said, I think this was James L. Brooks' specialty, is saying, no, it can't be like that, because all you have to do is have somebody support him. And that somebody's always going to be Marge. So just put them together for a little bit and have them talk a bit. And there you go. It just reinforces the family dynamic that the Simpsons have always had.
Yeah, it's makes it so it doesn't go down into that kind of dreary territory that we saw in Homer's Odyssey. I found something interesting on the news group this week. Aside from a couple people like wondering why Homer didn't get more flirtatious with Carl, which I thought was really funny. They were like, why? I thought there'd be more of that, but I just want to read this. Like, this is kind of a touchdown of, like, comic book guy, the character. Like, you know, he's always heavily critical of Itchy and Scratchy and all the other, and a lot of media. And he was based on the characters in the news group, a lot of the people who post on the news group, who are always really critical. Now, keep in mind, this is the second episode of the second season. And someone's already posted, Does anyone else get the impression that the new shows are not up to the comedic and textural levels of the past season? Are the Simpsons already creatively bankrupt?
I really don't understand how anybody who saw the first and the two episodes of the second season could ever think that. They're so vastly superior that they had to be smoking something insane to see it.
I don't know. Like, I thought the first show, then someone follows it up. I thought the first show was great, but yesterday's was a big letdown. Yesterday being this week's episode, Simpson and Delilah. I too hope the Simpsons are not creatively bankrupt, but I am glad someone else thinks that the new shows are generally lower quality of last season's shows. And they think that they changed their writing because, you know, they kind of make a swipe at Bart Gets an F because they think that they wrote that to address the criticism of Bart being an underachiever and stuff. You know, they actually criticize him studying and praying. The old shows seem infused with groaning's cynical life is hell humor, while the new shows seem to be slipping into a pattern of sight gags, moralizing, and sappiness. Really? Sappiness? It's
life in the fast lane then?
I don't know, but there is some kind of sanity at the end of this episode, this end of this thread, where the guy, the last person who posted, goes, "Are you kidding? I'm on board with that guy."
Maybe we're being trolled from 24 years in the past.
This thread started. It was posted the day after this episode premiered, so it was October 19th. This thread came from. So, I'm gonna keep revisiting these things because I think this is hilarious. How we're hitting basically we're moving into basically what is considered the prime time, the prime seasons of The Simpsons. They're already saying it's creatively bankrupt. Dear Lord. How can you watch? You watch Bart Gets an F and think creatively bankrupt. Ugh, okay. It's people. Although, that, and this was, I don't want to be too critical because a lot of people are very effusive with their praise in alt.tv.simpsons, which you guys can still find on, in Google groups. If you Google it, you'll find it. In Google bought all the rights to all those old news groups, all those Usenet groups. Anything else you want to talk about this episode, Matt, before we move on to listener question?
No, I don't think so.
Our listener question of this week was, what is your favorite episode with Snow and why? And wow, you guys, I guess I was incorrect in thinking that Mr. Plow would lead the way because there were certainly people who voted for Mr. Plow, but it was not the top one. From Twitter, we got Ted at Soup of Tomorrow. He has Mountains of Madness. Smithers, what time is it, Bart? 12:80. Wait, what comes after 12? Smithers, 1. Bart, no, after 12. Which, Bart and Lisa with Smithers, that I love that.
Oh God, Aaron Elizabeth, oh God, protect this rocket house and all who dwell within the rocket house. Best part of that episode.
I still quote, nothing better than a good Sid.
Yep.
Aaron Elizabeth at Aaron Zajna. Best Snow Ep is Treehouse of Horror 6, where Willy is Freddy Krueger. Lousy Smarch Weather, which I completely, you guys remind me of episodes I completely forgot were in the running. We have Robert at Robert Titt. Mr. Plow is my favorite Snow episode. I still sing the Mr. Plow theme song when I see a plow truck in the winter. We live in Florida, so we don't ever see snow plows, but I still, yeah. David at Day Jacobson, favorite episode with Snow is Grift of the Magi. It has Funzo, Gary Coleman, and a Terminator reference. Mr. Plow, what? So he's throwing down the gauntlet there. Reddit, JG Beamer, Skinner's Sense of Snow forever and ever. Oh, forever and ever. Nibbles chew through my ball sack. Yeah, I'm amazed that made it through the censors. Blind by Hindsight, Homer the Heretic. Homer is so 100% in the right about everything in the episode, except for maybe the stick of butter.
It's true.
Patented Moon Waffles?
Yes. Space Age.
Patented Moon Waffles. If you guys go look online, you can find people who've actually made that stuff.
But okay, I'm actually okay with the butter. It's the liquid smoke. I can't do. Sorry, no.
That's a lot of liquid smoke too. Uses on that. From Facebook, we have George Marge Be Not Proud, which is a very good one with snow. Scene where Bart comes home to see the family building snowman likenesses of themselves, and Bart using the dirty snow under the car perfectly encapsulates the feeling of being the black sheep of the family. Not to mention the design of Snow Bart is heartbreakingly perfect. Michael has Little Big Mom solely for the quote, stupid sexy Flanders, which I had mentioned earlier. And that is from a later season than I thought it was. I believe that's season 11. I looked it up. I was like, wow, it's later than I thought.
There were a few of those.
Yeah, exactly. Lastly, we have Chris. Favorite Snow episode, hard not to go with Mr. Plow, especially being friends with said Mr. Plow. He linked to a Facebook profile of a gentleman who actually does have a snow plow and goes by Mr. Plow up in Illinois, which I thought that was really cool. But his final answer, I have to go with Treehouse 5, The Shining. The Shining is a classic movie and right in my age wheelhouse to get the jokes made in the classic part of a great Treehouse episode. You know, no TV, no beer, make Homer something something. And you've got The Shining. You mean Shining. You want to get sued? I can't do it, Willy. I apologize for my Willy. Simply classic, and I feel maybe overlooked all the great episodes to choose from. And also, Chris also linked to, he posted a picture of a Hot Wheels car he had gotten that is Homer's car that he designed with Herb. The car he designed for Herb. They made a Hot Wheels of that, which I was not aware of, but now I've got to go find that somewhere. Right. Yeah, that's so good. Also, he mentioned that the season premiere this year is the 1 year anniversary of his marriage. Aww. So congratulations, Chris. If I posted on Twitter, but I do want to say on air, congratulations. Matt, what is your favorite snow episode?
You know, I really thought when I picked this that no one would mention this episode. But it's going to have to be Marge Be Not Proud for the exact same reasons. Just Bart with that little clump of dirty, nasty snow. And as someone who has been to South Dakota and that kind of snow is everywhere, it is awful. And I think poor Bart Snowman just is the perfect example of what you can do with that snow and the only thing you can do with it.
Nasty, gross exactly. Snowman. I'm going Mr. Plow. Sorry.
Well, it's really one of two episodes that really deal with snow extensively. Mountain of Madness and that.
Yeah, I have to go with Mr. Plow. It's a warm place in my heart. It's a classic, and that theme song. My name again is Mr. Plow. So good. Next week, our listener question is, what is the best kiss from The Simpsons? We had a kind of an interesting kiss in this episode, so there's a lot of them. I'm really looking forward to what you guys answer. Every week I am surprised and kind of delighted in the creative answers you guys give. Again, I will be posting on our social media. I do it on our Twitter, our Facebook. I also posted on the Simpsons subreddit on Reddit. So you can also look for it there if any of you guys are Redditors. Without further ado, we can get into our last segment of the week, the segment we end every episode with, a segment called Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the segment where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically. By the end of this podcast, in a decade or so, we will have a comprehensive list of every episode and how good they are compared to each other. So, you ready for that, Matt? Ready for a decade from now?
Oh, God. It's bad enough now. I can't imagine what it's going to be like then.
But you can catch this list at our website, simpsonsshow.com. I update it every week. I kind of break it down by season as well as we get further along. So we can kind of see where this goes. Where would you put this one, Matt? I'm interested where you think. This is kind of hard.
Not for me. To be honest, this okay. has been, if I had to rank my top 10 episodes, this would be in them. To be completely fair,
really?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know what it is about Carl, but this episode is just fantastic for me between him and all the different hairstyles and just seeing what Homer could accomplish with hair and some confidence is great. And them singing to each other at the end, it's one of the best Simpsons episodes for me ever. So I have to put it at number one. Cause I mean,
number one?
Well, yeah.
Really?
Well, I mean, last really? Week, number one. Bart gets an F. And this is better than that, so...
This is better than Bart Gets an
yes.
F. Really?
In my opinion.
You say it's better than Bart
yes,
Gets
so
an F. Is there any wiggle room in that? Can I talk you down to number
Go
two?
Go for it. Give it a shot.
Okay. I just think that Bart Gets an F is a little tighter. Has a lot more joke. We talked about it last week, a little bit denser in the jokes. Like, it's more rapid fire. I think the writing's a little bit better. And... You are right. Carl is a really great kind of guest, one-off guest character. Harvey Fierstein does a great job. It is very progressive. I think that it just gets we see Homer, there's more episodes. I don't know. Both of these episodes kind of revisit, these tropes gets revisited a couple times, but I don't think that the Bart gets revisited as similarly. We see Homer with hair. You know, there's other episodes of Homer with hair. And so this one loses a little bit there. And, I don't know. I'd say that Bart Gets an F has just as much character moments, but it has more kind of funny humor, joke density as well.
I'm definitely willing to give you that. I think we can agree on a solid number two. Just know that for me, on my separate personal top 10 list, this is among them. So.
Okay. I can see your merit. I was not sure where you were going to go on this. So I was going to like, I'm like, I don't know. I can't put it higher than Bart Gets an F, because when I rewatching Bart Gets an F, I forgot how good it was and how touching that moment at the end when Bart starts breaking out in tears. Oh man, it kind of made me a little misty eyed a little bit. But we can agree that our mutual list, we can put this at a strong number two.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we have Simpson, Delilah on our best episode ever list, strong number two, right behind Bart Gets an F. What episode are we watching next week, Matt?
Ooh, are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
Treehouse of Horror number one!
Number one Treehouse of Horror. Wow. Ugh, I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to this for a while. Ugh, gosh. I'm already warning you, I've already seen people ragging on Treehouse of Horror on the newsrooms.
Oh, no. Oh, those people are wrong.
We're going to talk about it next week, but I think with that, we'll bring this episode to a close. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.